Hello and welcome to Chatsif Get Banged, the Team Calamity Final Fantasy TCG podcast. I am your host Tom Hall, and today I'm joined by Team Calamity's Mitch Lander.
Hello.
And we've got YYT and Meme FM's Michael McMillan.
Hello.
And then our very special guest for today, he needs no introduction, but we will do him one anyway because he asked us to. It's multiple worlds finalist, 2018 world champion, Mr. Cool, XDef the Wizard, Alex Hancocks.
What's up, nerds?
Ooh, did I get all the titles, Alex?
Yeah, all the ones I paid you to throw in there. Yep,
I forgot Daddy Cool.
Oh, Daddy Cool.
No, we didn't.
Okay, that's why we lose our sponsored segment. But no, thanks for joining, Alex, and welcome, everyone. I think we've got some people live. So if you've got questions for Alex and stuff, feel free to bung them in the chat, and we're going to do like a little speed Q&A with him towards the end. But first of all, we'll just talk about where things are. It's hard to do podcasts at the moment because nothing is really happening. And before we know it, it's already the end of Opus 12. It's like another Opus has passed. So I guess we'll just talk about what you think's been happening with Opus 12 and where you're at. I guess, Alex, for you, you've sort of had a bit of resurgence in the game. You were a bit quiet the year before, and now you're sort of back active again, streaming, Twitch streaming. It all seems very positive. Is it a love of the Opus, or just you wanted to get back into it?
Yeah, both. I mean, I got back into it when the set came out. Start of November, was it? I thought, you know what, we'll give streaming a go. We're stuck in lockdown still. I don't know how long it's going to be going on for. Gives people something to watch, you know, to try and keep the game sort of, you know, as alive as it can be during this period. And played a bunch of decks, got the hang of Octagon a little bit more and stuff like that, and turned out to be a really fun set. The dual element stuff we got out of this set made for a lot of sort of refreshing new deck ideas, fresh meta compared to the last couple of sets before it. And it turned out pretty well. And it's still, even now, it's still changing and evolving, even with only about a month left of the set. So it's nice that, you know, compared to last set, which was all March writs from beginning to end, we've seen things change from Shikaris to the mad Neo XDef turn one no backup kind of decks.
I can't believe you chose the two worst decks, the most annoying to play against decks, is the defining decks in the offices.
But we had all this nice stuff in between, so that's all right.
Yeah.
Actually, we do hold, at Team Calamity, we hold you accountable for Neo XDef, Alex, because in your set review, you said, don't worry about XDef because it's a card no one would play at locals. And it sort of put it in everyone's head on our team. And we see it all the time.
you had to prove me wrong. You'd be like, look at this guy, he's saying Neo XDef's crap. I'm going to prove him wrong by playing three in every deck. Is that it?
No, I think it's just the idea that you would not play it with your friends. It's been somewhat missed. Not that it's a great card. It's horrible to play against. And yeah, that's why you wouldn't. Ben saying yay Ned deck on the chat. So yeah. But you've also been Twitch streaming, playing the actual games as well. Is that your first time you've been playing them, or have you always been a Final Fantasy fan?
Most of the ones I've been playing on stream are the first time ones. I played about half of the main titles when I started doing them on the stream, and I was like, well, gives me, you know, eventually, you know, it's fun doing FF like sort of 5 days a week at the start of it, and then you kind of start running out of ideas, start running out of things to talk about. I'm going to keep the stream going. You want to keep people interested in like the brand, so, you know, because that's the thing, right? Sometimes you play or watch your favorite FF games, and then you see some of the characters, and like, yeah, I want to go and build a Final Fantasy deck around those characters or something like that. So it's just something to keep up the vibe. Hopefully it inspires people more with FFTCG as well, you know, as a side thing. Yeah, it's just fun. You know, they're all mostly different, have their own things to offer. It's been good kind of relaxing fun during this period.
Yeah, actually, that was one of the pre-submitted questions, was around playing the games now on your stream. Have you been inspired by any cards that you sort of dismissed because they're not very good cards, or like you want to play this character now or something? But
I think it was more like maybe the reverse, like, because I hadn't played Final Fantasy V before like a few weeks ago. Obviously that XDef is, you know, this kind of character I became fairly known for. I chose Bartz as my World Championship promo card. And yeah, I picked, you know, these sort of two favorite characters purely from the TCG. So I thought, you know what, the new bots that came out this set with the Boca and all that, all the new support, Kryle, obviously, any Kryle gamers, that has been that was a kind of inspiration for me to play the game that way too. And you know, Thancred decks playing in all these Zidanes now, Firewater, Zidane. Thought, yeah, FF9's got to be given a go as well, surely, right?
Definitely a bit childish, you were saying though, before we started to distribute.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a bit of a childish game, right? Right, Mitch?
hang on. Is it not the best Final Fantasy you've ever played?
No comment there, Mitch. Sure, yeah.
Somewhat baited into that. But it's going to, no. So, Alex, you spoke about refreshing of the meta. I suppose it's been a bit weird because there's not really been any. There's been some online tournament stuff, obviously, not the regular. Stuff we would have had throughout the year, like Crystal Cups and everything, we can really gauge the thing. We'll hand over to like Mitch and Michael so that you don't just copy everything Alex says in terms of opinion. How have you found, Alex calls it a meta refresh, how have you guys found it sort of different? Obviously, Alex is at the top end of like the competitive mindset. Michael, you're sort of near the top as well, I guess. Mitch, more in the middle to the top.
I mean, all like... I've ever seen is Neo X-Death. I don't know about, like, I've not seen these Samurais. I've not seen Barrel Eye. I've just seen Neo X-Death turn one every game. So that's my meta.
You should come play in YYT locals. We don't have many. I don't think we have any X-Death players that play online. Yeah. We know someone who, when the card got spoiled, was like, I'm bringing that to every locals I go to. And we were all just like, oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because it's not only is there like smaller events, there's like larger spaces between them as well. Like even locals, like there's a week between locals where like you'd have a locals, you'd have a testing day and kind of YYT as well. So like there's less innovation while... Like not less innovation, just less frequent innovation. So there's less times where people are continually working on like certain things to make them better and better, or at least for most people, I think that's the case anyway.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, what's interesting is that Marsh Ritz went off the cliff as soon as the new set came out, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I've not seen it at all. It was overly dominant. It was carrying games on its own, and now it's just not seen. Is that because there's no big tournaments going on, or is it just... games moved on already from like what seemed to be like the most overpowered, easy to run combination is now just gone.
It's, I don't know, it's weird. Yeah, you're right, because Brassica's Fenaleon as well has kind of dropped to a tech card more than like, you know, a three of in every fire deck, even though fire's really good. I think it just, Marshrips isn't bad. I think it's just it's like it's not a plug and play card anymore. I think that's kind of what Alex was saying in his streams in the past, that you should try and build fire decks without Marsh Ritz and see how much better or worse it is than just assume that it's going to be the best thing to put in the deck. And I don't know, maybe just because of the new fire water combinations that make it super powerful, that in fact the fire earth usually just wants to run lightning and you end up playing earth lightning in the end anyway, or that mono fire probably just wants to run samurais or magisa stuff, and in the end you end up not having enough slots for Marsh Ritz because it's not just the cards themselves, they have to run suboptimal backups as well to make them really worthwhile. And I don't know, a lot of people are just finding it's not worth that for maybe a couple turns of massive acceleration.
I also think Opus 11 was a bit shy of combos. Like there was the really obvious was March and Ritz, so everyone looked at that. This set, you've had like, you've seen the Thancred, you've seen like Tenzin with Cyan and stuff like that. So those combos are already there. Barrel Eye Guido was made obvious really early on, so people look at those cards and think, right, I can make a deck around that. Whereas in Opus 11, it was March Ritz looks good, I'll just make that, and that seemed to be what everyone thought.
I think fire just maybe got power creeped a little more than everything else. That's it, maybe, like just in terms of like the macro skill of it rather than the micro skill. It was just when every element gets power creeped a little bit, fire just got the most. That's it.
Yeah, someone in chat saying their samurai deck was their strongest deck, and it's better than March Ritz, so they've taken it out.
Yeah, so samurais are like S tier right now. They're very, very, very good, but they've got counters and obviously like lock destroys it. But yeah, I don't know, the meta is nice and not settled. It's still obviously moving, but it's like a nice, like it's plural. It's a plural meta compared to, like, as you guys were saying, Marsh Ritz, BFA, Kadaj being everywhere last set.
I think there's a lot of, like, less talked about elements too that are the reason the meta is kind of the way it is right now. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I probably would have said to you that, like, the Thancred Water Lightning decks are, like, in the top tier, and now I'm kind of thinking they're maybe on the cusp or not even top tier anymore. And the three top decks are, like, Neo Exdeath, Water Earth deck, Lock Earth Wind stuff, and Samurais. If you look at all their kind of their main forwards, or the big forward in question, each of those decks is all 9k and above. And Amaterasu came out this set, and it's one of, like, the biggest counters to, you know, the popular entry ability strategies that have been so dominant since, like, I don't know, like Opus 4, kind of 5. And it counters a lot of, well, counters Marsh Ritz for a start. Like, you know, your Marsh gets hit by an Amaterasu. You don't just lose the kind of the Marsh Ritz, but you lose the three backups you were going to get from the Ritz attacking. You lose the one damage. You lose the forcing your opponent to kill your Marsh and or your Ritz in a kind of more awkward way. You know, you've gone from getting, like, plus 10 with a Marsh Ritz, say, to Amaterasu just being, like, completely changing it to being out of your favor, and suddenly, unless you've got another Marsh or something on hand straight away, that relying on those two cards to win the game now is just not viable, especially with how good just Mono Fire is in general, and especially Terra as well, Terra S from the two-player starter set, allowing you to even kill Neo Exdeath with Amaterasu now too.
Yeah, so Mitch, we talked about this a bit. It's nice to see, like, the diverse meta and the tournaments we've seen. You know, we've had a few, particularly America, they've managed to get sort of the towards the 50 sort of player level. We obviously had the big YYT one, which was like 24, was it, Michael? 22 participants.
I think it was 24 in the end, yeah.
And yeah, the top spread was quite diverse. But that said, as sort of myself and Mitch, people like to play, like, different decks all the time and just try things out and sort of more casual, fun decks, it is quite impressive at the top. And, you know, personally, I found Opus 12 a bit of a grind because, you know, particularly the first few months of it. It's only the last sort of month or so I've started to enjoy it and having success with things. But I found it very difficult as sort of a mid to lower player to get something to stick, whereas Opus 11, you know, I was starting to do quite well with, you know, even sort of Mimi style decks. But at the top, it's almost, it does sometimes feel a bit like overstrong and almost unplayable. Like, if you're up against like a Shikari person, it's very, very hard to deal with a sort of a regular thing. Xdef turn one, that sort of, it's all very hard to deal with. You can tech in for Xdef, but then you end up find yourself lacking against other things.
Yeah.
So it's been very, that side's been quite depressing and hard. I don't know if anyone else.
It's not a consequence of how plural the meta is.
Yeah.
It's even at the top level, like building a deck that can handle everything. Like, Alex, you've been on your stream, you've been trying to build the Water Lightning deck so it could be able to deal with Cyan pretty much all of the time, or enough of the time that you're going to have a positive win rate. And, like, that, we're finding that really difficult to continually do. So when you're not continually taking against things and you're not keeping up to date with the meta, it can be a little bit, as you said, oppressive. Like, you're, that when there's more things to look out for because of how many broken combos there are, it's like the game is more fun. But then if you're just, you know, you take a week break, then or you just don't build a deck for anything, then, you know, it's maybe, it can be a little bit annoying.
So, I mean, Alex, how do you, this is actually, someone had asked this as one of the pre-submitted questions for you. So often when you're building on, you know, we're talking about here having to tech for everything because otherwise you're just going to get stomped by something. On your stream, when you're deck building and stuff, you're often like, oh, if they run Shikari's, I'll chuck in a Shadow Lord because that deals with Shikari's. But, like, how do you make those consistent? Because for the regular player, that Shadow Lord will be at the bottom of your deck for the whole game when they play Shikari's, and you'll never see it. Whereas at sort of your level, you're just like, oh, this can deal with that. I'll bung that in there. Don't have to worry about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's generally not as simple as playing just like one answer, like Shadow Lord. Like, Shadow Lord, when I was playing that at the YYT event at the end of last year, that was sort of another answer as for as well as a bunch of other arts that I put in specifically for stuff like Barts and Chikaris, and it was stuff like the new Diablos that came out this set. So it wasn't just that. It's just, I don't know, Shadow Lord just happened to just fit at that kind of exact moment. And it worked so well during the tournament, but I would kind of, I'd probably never play it again, or I would never play it in this kind of meta. But like generally when we're going for one-offs like that, like Shadow Lord's not a great example there because I wasn't playing Star Sybil. If you are, you know, Star Sybil can kind of count as four Shadow Lords if you're playing three Star Sybil, because whenever you need the Shadow Lord, as long as you've got a Star Sybil or hit a Star Sybil EX first, you get access to it. But I now started seeing, like, not that I agree with it, but people in the Earth decks putting in like Black Tortoise, Lassiter, Gilgamesh to help kind of stabilize versus Neo Exdeath. And obviously that card on its own, just playing one copy again is very, very risky. If you play three copies of Gabranth, the search is five drops or more, then all of a sudden you're playing, you know, four copies of that one out. So as long as you're kind of playing like, I don't know, say 3 to 5 answers to the same kind of strategy, then you should find them consistent enough. You know, playing three of a card is generally enough to see it by the time you need it in most games. You know, like if we really needed Shantotto that much in Earthwind, we could play three, but generally most of the Earthwind players find that, you know, we're going to need two Shantottos most of the time because we'll see it enough, or we have Q-Sith to get it back from the break zone, stuff like that.
So in terms of, you said, you know, your the lock, what do they call it? Storm.
Yeah, Storm, they call it Storm. I mean, my Twitch chat's now very upset people calling it Storm, because they link me to some Storm cards at NMTG, and it's more that they duplicate them. They duplicate their effects from how many of something you've cast in the turn. And people are saying, well, if Locke was actually a Storm card, then Locke would be broken if you could just, every card you cast, Dolphreeze two characters. But I just prefer Earthwind Locke. But yeah, Storm, I guess, is the general title people have come to know now.
Are you thinking that's the best deck in the game at the moment, or?
For me it is. I mean, I find like I'm okay as like an aggro player, but I'm not this kind of aggro player that likes playing like the no backup stuff. You know, I don't like playing Neo Exdeath turn one, stuff like that. Although, you know, ironically I was became somewhat famous for playing another six drop Exdeath on turn one, but that was a long time ago. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, it just gives you so many options, and it's so well positioned because it naturally is able to play so many cards that deal with these meta threats without like kind of spoiling other matchups. Like we were saying, like with Thancred, Michael was saying earlier, how I had to tech in like Adramelic the Wrath, you know, a card I never expected to play in order to try and counter Cyan during my opponent's turn. You know, I am making my deck worse just to beat a card I can't otherwise beat with that Thancred deck. And that's kind of why I think it's not actually tier one. But like Earth Wind is just naturally, you know, you're playing Alexander because it deals with like Exdeath and Tenzin and stuff. But it's not an inconvenient card. You know, Alexander 4 CP is just a solid card that you don't mind playing anyway because you're Cryo. So you just naturally got these answers to everything else that's strong, and that feels like a good place to be, that you just can beat anything, you know? So I do think for that reason that Earthwind is the best. But having played Samurais myself, and having played against it, I feel like it's a pretty close second right now, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting how Fire has, I guess it was always on the cusp of just needing a couple of things. We thought Braskazaion was the one that pushed it over, but yeah, I think people weren't so keen on Tenzin either when they first saw it, but I guess he's not really the main part of the deck, is it? It's about the Cyan, but it is very strong. It's another one that feels absolutely broken when you're stuck playing against it and can't deal with it. There's a lot of love in the chat for Tyro, just as your consistency to get your one-offs and stuff like that.
Yeah, we couldn't play Locke without Tyro.
Is there anything really too much Tyro? Is that a thing? Probably not.
It has EX Burst. You know, if it didn't have EX Burst, it would be a little bit different. But it's just the fact that you can just afford to play three, because it's nice when a card you want to play anyway has an EX Burst that's that good. You just might as well just play three. You know, you can't really get too much of it. I don't know if I'd play four given the opportunity, but maybe in some decks you would. I don't know.
And then you mentioned a lot about like your the Earth Wind has lots of counters, but they're all wind cards. Do we think there's a bit of a problem that wind is always the one that has the answer for everything? Often the top decks involve wind because it literally has everything. Is that having an effect on?
Like the one thing it doesn't have, which Earth Wind does show, is that it doesn't have the best answers to three CP forwards. And that's why I think Cyan's doing so well, because nothing really has good answers to Cyan or 3-drops in general, this new 3 CP Yuna. But yeah, it does feel like, because that's the thing, Wind's at that point now where maybe sometimes we can't play 5 CP Diablos because it's a bit too slow. But when we don't have to play that card anymore, when it meant so much to the archetype before, it was like the summon you played. When it came out, it was like the first actual good Wind summon back in Opus 5. And now, you know, now we're not just... Most of the decks I play just don't play Diablos at all. It does make you think, yeah, Wind just kind of manages to handle everything in some way. Not even with particularly like direct answers. The cards are just that good naturally on their own kind of thing. They just happen to work well together.
Definitely. To Mitch, another thing you've been enjoying in Opus 12 is the Cryle. I know, Alex, you're a fan. You have this term for it. Was it Cryle Gamers?
Cryo Gamers.
So Mitch, you're loving this one. That's shaking things up a bit, sort of reintroduced summons. You talked about Amoratsu, whatever he's called, Amoratsu as well. Summons were on the out, weren't they? Pre-Opus 11. It was, and now they've sort of slid back in, and now they're quite a staple thing to have in decks again.
Yeah, I think they've just introduced more recently like a lot stronger summons. I mean, you've got like Syldra, which searches very well. You've got even the new Alexandra, and there's Amaterasu. They're all very strong like summons that have come out this set and just really give a power to a deck that it didn't previously have. You can also do it like the benefit of summons is obviously that you can do it during your opponent's turn, disrupt them and stuff like that. And there was never like in like previous sets like Opus, like 10 and stuff like that, there was like the Rampair list didn't even run summons. Now I don't think there could be a list currently that doesn't run summons. I think they would all, because you need to stop your opponents during their turn, especially against like a deck like a Water Lightning. They, if you don't stop them doing something, they're going to play five forwards in their turn. So I think, as I said, since they've introduced these stronger summons, it has like changed the game a lot, and that's made Cryle like really good, because you can also just play Cryle and use their summons against them. So if everyone wants to run the best cards, but then Cryle also means that their best cards are also your best cards.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Kenneth Duff from the YYT constantly is asking for a Cryle promo that has the Communist Manifesto on it somewhere for exactly that. Because, you know, it's our summons. It's Cryle being able to reduce the cost of any summons it costs by 2 CP, because it doesn't cost your card in hand like a normal summon cast would, is really, really big as well. Because it's like, funnily enough, Cryle is actually probably one of the better things Earth Wind has against 3 CP forwards if they're against fire, because you can, like for example, Cyan, you can obviously cast their 1-drop efforts to kill it. But you're not spending 3 CP on that 1-drop effort, you're spending 1 CP on like that kind of stuff. It just makes it so it's long-lastingly powerful on top of being, you know, generically good.
Yeah, so I guess in terms of Opus 12, I guess the last thing to say, are you guys disappointed that you've not been able to competitively play, and Opus 11, I guess we have sort of covered that before. Are you disappointed you haven't had a chance to sort of competitively play this Opus, or do you think you would enjoy the like Crystal Cups and stuff in this Opus, or would it be a bit sweaty?
Yeah, I've missed the social aspect of it, you know, like the hanging out with everyone, playing against them, and then afterwards going to the pub, and whether you drink or not, just, you know, vibing and playing games with people afterwards. Like, I've missed that aspect the most of it. In terms of actually playing I've definitely missed it. I've missed like the build up to an event where you sit and you practice loads of your pals, and then when you get to the event, you realize that you practiced against the wrong decks and you were idiots. Still, I've missed that play, you know?
Turn one and they slap down 3 Shikaris and you're like, I wasn't expecting this.
Oh, wow, I've been playing against Warfire Knights. What's going on here? No one's even playing that, Jesus.
I mean, Alex, how would you feel having to, you know, trying to win back the world champion title in the Opus 12 meta?
That's the thing, right? It's like, as much as I've enjoyed the format for the most part, you know, the last thing you want to do is turn up to Crystal Cup and, you know, rounds 1, 4, 5, and 7, or whatever, there's just a turn one new Exeter against you, you know, half your games, you start against that. So if that kind of didn't exist, I would enjoy it a lot more because it is quite interactive. It's quite demanding of, like, you to kind of, I guess, think fast because of how fast the game can be in the early turns. You know, even Opus 11, you know, you barely ever dream of playing a forward on turn one unless you absolutely had to. You know, maybe Kadarj would be the one you play on turn one, but that's about it. And now we've got Neo Exdeath, we've got Tenzin, and just even like some of the Earth, like the Earthwind decks, just playing like Izana and stuff. We slap that down on turn one, and so all of a sudden you've got a clock going from the first turn. It's quite an intense way of playing the game, I guess, rather than just the standard, you know, play some backups, play another backup, and then sort of go at it from there. I would have liked to have played it kind of purely for the aspect that, yeah, as I say, it's refreshing, not just because of the new decks, but the new just way of playing the game, in that we get going so quickly.
Yeah, I wonder if 8 rounds of this stressful meta game would actually take out of us a bit more, you know?
You'd have long breaks in between where Neo's one on turn four and just go
and have a break. Actually, eat something.
AM lunch.
Now, it's interesting you say intense, probably a good word. So that probably has shaken things up as well. It's probably fair to, I mean, Alex, you won the YYT tournament anyway. So obviously you've...
don't rub it in.
Yeah, it's not too much a big deal for you. But you could probably say previous series, you would be quite confident going to any event, knowing you're probably going to top cut and have a good chance of taking it. Are you suggesting potentially now you'd be going in thinking, I'm going to have to really work for this time?
I don't really ever go into it feeling confident I'm gonna make top cut, but that's just kind of me kind of, you know, expecting the worst, hoping for the best kind of mindset. But it's weird, like, whenever I play Earthwind at tournaments, where, you know, every game is the difference between, you know, 3 points and no points on the leaderboard kind of thing, it is definitely different. Like, Earthwind historically is a deck where it's not like you ever win game 7-0, like, ever, right? Yeah. Like, a lot of the games, you'll go to, like, between 4 and 6 damage, and then those closing turns, you can't afford to make mistakes, you can't afford to give your opponent these random chances to kill you. So, I feel like I would be going in with the best deck. Now, you know, if there was a Crystal Cup tomorrow, and I had one of the Earthwind builds I've been playing, I'd feel confident that I had a great deck, but I know just... there's just the same chance as always that one or two rounds, you just might... It's not even like turn one Neo Exdeath kind of thing you lose to. It's just sometimes you whiff on a bit of a draw, your opponent, you know, gets a good draw, and you kind of just suddenly die, you know, one turn before you're set up. So I do wonder, would I actually... I probably would go with Earthwind, but I feel like Samurais generally is a much sort of more stress-free... Actually, if you play that deck really well, I think you... probably have an easier time making top cut an event than Earthwind. So given the fact that I'd probably still play Earthwind, definitely be a bit more stressful for me. I'm not sure I could put money on myself in that one.
You keep answering all the pre-submitted questions. That was one of them. What deck what deck could you take? I thought
he's
you were
too good at podcasting, Alex.
So it would be the Earthwind lock that you would
take. Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what build. There's quite a few variations. But yeah, it's just the thing I feel most comfortable playing. Maybe if I played with Samurais more, I've already started really playing the deck the past couple of weeks. Maybe I'd want to take that too. But I don't know. It's been a long time, honestly, since I've actually played in real life, played a single deck kind of tournament. Because apart from Paris last year at the Grand Open, you know, before that was like Worlds and Euros, and that was all multi-deck formats, you know, two-deck formats. So actually also just not used to playing single deck in real life. So that would be kind of interesting to get back to again, because I'd love to play a tournament where I could play both Samurais and Earthwind, but having to choose between the two, you can never be too sure if you're making the right call for the event.
Yeah, And running a two deck format probably helps, like in, like with the sort of Ned matchup stuff as well, because you're being two deck format, it would naturally be best of three, which means you're not gonna, you know, be killed by someone playing turn one Naomix as much, or maybe you get it, you know, double as much. I don't know, but still.
Mitch, what would you take? Because when things are not, like, if you're frustrated at our locals, the next week you're like, right, I'm bringing Rampair and shut everyone up. How does that? Yeah. Do you think that holds up still?
I love my Rampair decks, but I don't think it's good enough. I think as Alex said, like, there are certain matchups where someone will just slap down all forwards, and you'll find out they're not even running backups in their deck. And then Rampair really will struggle with that. It needs to set up. It needs to get, like, a few backups out, just because all of these forwards are so expensive. And I think Fire is so good right now with its Amaterasu, but also Blaze. I think Blaze is really good in the meta.
I love Blaze.
I think I would have to run a Fire deck. Now, I'm not saying I'd run Samurais, because I have self-respect.
Don't alienate your viewer base here.
But there was actually a deck that I tried the other day, which was good fun. It was probably what I'd actually have to go for fun, because I don't think I'd do very well. And I can meta matchup is Earthfire, but it was running the forward Shantotto that's 6k that pings everything.
Oh yeah.
And that's very good against, like, the Barrel Eye and the Samurais, because it kills them when they kill you, sort of thing. So if they play down the Tenten, they're not getting anything back right when it dies, because it's removed from play. And you can also pair that up with Blaze and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun, and the matchups that I played, it was very strong. But as I said, I think it'd be more of a fun deck to go, because I don't think if I went to a tournament, I'd be a bit like Alex, where I don't think I would never go there too top. So it would be more just what decks do I think I'd play, and then it'd just be, can I look myself in the mirror when I'm playing this deck? And I think with that one I would be able to.
Cool. Right, so last thing on Opus 12, this might be the wrong panel to discuss this, but there's some chat had come up. I think it was in the US side. I think it was someone was setting up like a locals league or something, and they tried to put in place, like, I think they called it a gentleman agreement to not play like super meta decks and not make it fun for people. And I think he had a lot of backlash from that. Obviously you can't really do that and tell people what decks they can and can't play, and people have different opinions on what is fun. You know, people quite enjoy slapping down turn one X defs and stomping through and stuff. Is there potentially an opportunity for like a different format? We've had L3, hasn't really kicked off. We've got the main, like, there's the ban list is very small. We've got no rotation, etc. Is there cause for a new format that would appeal more to like the casual level player, to give people more opportunities to play sort of a little bit out their decks, or a little bit more sort of fun combo based stuff? Or is it just, you know, get good?
It's kind of hard to regulate, though, because you'd need for that, for every tournament that happens, you'd need to have like really strong data on what decks are happening. And I guess we do have FF decks, but even then, not every tournament is reported on, and then some tournaments are some person's locals that they just wanted to upload the four decks that did really well, that, you know, looked dead cool, and they've got like 9 colors in them, you know. So you'd need a lot of data to like determine what is a good deck and what isn't a good deck. Because if you use like Alex's old moniker of what a meta deck is, and if it top eighted or, you know, top cut a tournament at any point, then you can consider it meta. And an Opus, then like does that mean a casual player who just happened to be playing Samurais is now banned from playing Tenzin?
Yeah.
And they spent money on this card and all that. So it's online, maybe that is possible. In person, once that kicks off again, it's absolutely not, because you know but they're obviously trying to restrict ban lists as much as possible anyway, so that if people show up, you can they pull a Dadaluma from a pack, you know, it's, oh, you know, sorry, you can't use that card. That's a lot easier to tell someone than, oh yeah, sorry, you can't use Samurai,
yeah,
you can't use Tenzin or Saiyan or anything, because, you know, your super expensive full art
it's a fine balance, isn't it? Because I think even if you had a heavily formatted format with like heavy rotation or like only can use certain cards, there will always be something that someone will find that's busted and like impressive and it's going to stomp everything. So yeah, I understand where they're coming from. I think it's a hard line if you're trying to just play casual, and I think you're just going to have to reassess what you get enjoyment from. If it's, you know, because you like the characters from the game and get enjoyment from playing those and not focus on the results and stuff, I think.
Yeah, and the YYT is quite interesting for that, actually, because our standard locals usually have people that you will never meet or have ever met, because they just play the game for fun, and then they'll go away for a couple of weeks, come back. And then there's obviously the sort of the main YouTube group, and even in the main YouTube group, there's just some people who buy a deck and they'll play that one deck and sometimes make a tweak or two throughout the whole opus. And that can be obviously 3 months long, and they took kind of like adjust for that. People like me and Steve and Derek and stuff, we will try and build as like different decks that are still functional as possible. So our locals decks might look entirely different from like a deck would actually reasonably play. Just to try and encourage so people aren't just spamming meta. And like when Water Wind was like the most broken deck for the third opus in a row, it was a gentleman's agreement of don't play that because it's boring, not don't play that because we don't want to be oppressed. It's just, you know, we're always seeing this deck in tournaments, we're always seeing this deck in like stuff. So, you know, let's just not. So it's you have to modulate it at a locals level, and if you're going to organize a tournament that's like out with like you're saying this American tournament was going on, like a sort out with the boundaries of this one little local niche, then you can't really restrict it, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard. Sorry, go ahead.
The thing you're talking about like balancing it with the gentleman's agreement kind of thing, I was thinking like, how do you just regulate on a base level? Because every time a new meta comes around, you know, the decks change because of the new cards. So let's say you wanted to not play the meta of the current format. So what do you do? You ban Lock, you ban Cryo, you ban Tenzin. You don't ban Sign at that point because Tenzin's already gone. You ban UX Death, and you ban, I don't know, Zidane, Thancred, Mid-Previ or whatever, stuff like that. You ban like those five or six cards. And then what does the meta become, you know? Then the meta becomes Marsh Ritz or Ips 11, because you haven't banned Marsh Ritz. Okay, so I'll ban Marsh Ritz. And then what does the meta become? Then it becomes Wind War again of Opus 10 and all those sets before. You know, you start banning Fina and Valafor. It just goes backwards all the time, right? Because every top tier deck comes out with each set. So unless you do deliberately super banned formats like L3 or Pauper or stuff like that, there really isn't a way to ever regulate it that it doesn't just go backwards.
Yeah, that's a good project. Maybe Pauper is the answer for that guy in where he wanted to do like the casual tournament. Pauper, or like even push like Title. He could do different formats each week or something. Because Title is about crazy fun, isn't it? And it's just, it's a bit of a mental game and just a bit of fun, so maybe that's the answer.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't think you start banning everything, it just goes in circles and something else always climbs up. People were crying out for Marsh Ritz that needed ban, and then the next opus is dead because counter cards come out and something else is better. So this game sort of self-regulates quite well, except for Neo X Death. It doesn't need to exist. We'll have a look at the spoilers in a minute. I'll go into that. I've got a certain opinion on certain types of cards. But thinking of Opus 13 then, is there anything in particular you really want to see coming into Opus 13? Mitch, you've been a bit quiet for the last bit. What do you want to see in Opus 13? Is there something particular or general theme or something? Don't just say like more really. FF9 cards, isn't it?
I mean, I'll always want to see more FF9, but there's not really anything I desperately want to see. I mean, obviously, I want to see something that will shake up the meta. And with like the cards that we've already seen, I feel like there is potential for that to happen. So I'm not worried that that's not going to happen. So as I said, there's not really much that I'm desperate to see. There's a few cards that seem like they could have an effect, but the only thing I'm as like I don't like keep like hampering on about it, but the Neo X death, I feel like, could have a detrimental effect to the game going forward. Like, if someone was to just play that down, that's going to be, I feel like, strong, pretty much regardless of what deck that you play, because every deck will want to set up at least something. So maybe it teaches us that we need, every deck needs to run answers, but then some decks can't have, like, don't have that, like, an easy access to an answer. So
mono ice has zero answers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a turn one versus mono ice, what can they do? So unless they, no, even as I said, even like Ulstein, they still have cards in their hand, so
you have to get it done with Gentiana. That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I think ice could do with maybe just an answer to that. That's something I'd like to see. Because I remember when the set first got spoiled and like Neo XF was announced, and there was that Facebook post about how to answer it. I can't remember what the ice answer was, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't reliable. I think it was something like Siller it or something, like Dull it and then Siller it. And I was like, that's just not going to cut it. You need to draw a Dull and Siller. So I was just, if you can just give it, even just like a, even if it's something expensive, like a 6 or 6 CP just to break something. That'd be more reliable. Something with like, even with like Locke's ability of breakers 6 or more. That'd be good.
So Aslan in the chat says rewrite Dr. Sid. So that is,
I just saw that one. That I was looking at that on Twitch while I was streaming the other day, and I was like, man, if this just had slightly different text, Neo Exter would not be an issue at all.
No. No, I agree with you.
I wonder if they're never going to rewrite it, but maybe they could do something similar. Let me bring up Dr. Sid. I've always liked Dr. Sid, but then, like you said, it's just slightly limited, which then doesn't work too great. When a backup you control is broken by your opponent's summons, put one character. Oh, yeah, so if it was not broken and just if Sid was put in the break zone, yeah, that would be sick. That would be sick.
That doesn't count for an archetype, you know, that just counters one degenerate card. You know, it's not like you know, having an anti-discard card, you know, that counters the ice element, right? But having an anti Neo X death card, that's absolutely fine. No one would be upset about that one.
Yeah, well, let's see, that maybe that's what the wish is, then, an anti Neo X death card, preferably an ice, but of anything. That'd be good. I'd like to see, we talked about this on the last podcast, about more monsters, not just more monsters, but like a bit more meat on the monsters, because they were quite funky when they came out, but they're just not really, they don't really have a massive presence, do they? Other than there's a couple of really good ones, and other than that, there's not much around them. There's not much ways of interact with the monsters. They're quite hard to get rid of and stuff like that. Would you like to see more monsters? We always go on about Marlborough. It's obviously like the biggest monster in FF games. And there's only crap Marlboroughs. I'd like to see a big Marlborough. What do you think about the monster side of things, Alex? What do you think they're right with it?
Most of them are just kind of too simple at the moment. That's the thing. Like, we need more kind of intricate effects, and we need like better synergies as well. Like, the monster synergy doesn't really exist that much. It's like the best monster kind of card I think's come out is Realm, followed by like Larcias, and even then, like Realm's a great card if the monsters she could bring out were particularly like decent. There's been some wacky strategies to use her to bring out Cactuars for like what is it, Azul decks and stuff like that. You know, it would have probably been a Dad Luma deck if Dad Luma still existed, things like that. But the cards just aren't quite up to scratch. The only ones you see are the ones that fulfill very specific purpose, like the 1 CP Goblin that gives haste and you know, Cactuar for Dad Luma, but apart from that, well, I can't even think of ones we
me and the Meme FM boys were running Buckaboo with it, because Buckaboo, it was nasty. The only half, yeah,
we were talking about it.
It's not a good card, but yeah, it's not a good card at all, but when it's played off of Realm, you feel less bad about it.
It's a good card if you play it alongside your Neo X death on your turn one.
Oh god. That's it. It's a good card if you play it off of Realm and you search a Flan anyway, because back when Realm came out, you kind of wanted to. Flan decks were still almost a thing. Like, they were kind of on their way out, but...
I was going to say, should we have a quick look at the spoilers that we've seen? We've seen a few coming out now. We're about to hit a deluge of spoiler season, I think. From what we've seen so far, is there anything that stands out? I want to talk about Celestia, actually. We'll start with Celestia. So this is the new Water Ice 9k4 cost. And water characters you control cannot be broken by opposing summons or abilities that aren't based on damage. And if an ice character is chosen, your opponent chooses one character, dull, and frees it. What do we think of this? Alex, what do you think of this type of card? So personally, I'll preempt it so I don't just... So you see where I'm coming from. I hate these kind of card designs. So the cards I hate the most are things like X-Def, Feel Thanos, and now this Celestia, which just completely shuts down being able to play the game, but without really doing anything else as a card. Or do you see it as a healthy place?
This one might be okay. It's like one of those things, it's too soon to tell, because realistically right now, Water Ice is one of the worst element combinations in the game. It just doesn't really have anything going for it, you know, that makes it pair well together or deals with the kind of threats we're facing. So it's one of those things where if Water Ice was really good and this comes out, a lot more people will be umming and ahhing about it, because, you know, why give something powerful to an already powerful archetype? Comes out, this is probably one that's not very good at the moment, and people are like, oh, maybe it seems kind of cool. It's one of those cards that's hard to judge because it's so simple. Like, it tells you exactly what it does in the text. It doesn't need any combo or anything. That's the thing, right? That Water Ice is underplayed because it doesn't have any kind of busted combos. This is just a generic solid card. So for this to be good, it probably also needs any other Water Ice cards in the set to do something to really make you want to play Water Ice. Because, like, what am I doing with the water side of the effect right now? Protecting herself, and then what? Layla Viking? You know, those things die to a, you know, I blow my nose and Layla Viking dies, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, they die to damage effects. And there's not really anything apart from, like, what? Yuna 3 CP, Cloud Darkness 5 CP that you really care about protecting that much with this kind of effect in water. The ice effect's really
ice effect is quite nasty.
But for the most part, it's more kind of, it's self-sufficient for her. You know, it makes her better. But we need to care more about what she's going to protect. Like Celestia, like a Sephiroth is decent. You know, if you try and kill the Sephiroth, at least he also takes away another backup from you. But it's that side of the effect is nice, but it's also not the biggest thing in the world. It's not super amazing. It's just a good card.
So someone in the chat says Celestia with Opus 2 Cecil. So obviously that Cecil is the legend that your forwards don't take damage less than their power. Or do they not just, they don't receive damage from any ability, do they?
Yeah, yeah.
That could be a problem.
This is 9 CP to be Chateau to the way. lot of CP and two cards there. Yeah, I don't really relate to Celestia that much, but for Water Ice not being great right now, but also just there's right now, obviously the Cecil or Minwoo like style arguments kind of make it slightly hard to deal with, but that's like a lot of investment for an effect your opponent almost definitely has an answer to in their deck. It's probably going to annoy you, like a lot of locals decks, but I think like in tournament, you know, or against any competitive deck, they'll have at least like, you know, five or six answers that can deal with it and only have like a dull freeze, you know.
The only thing I was thinking with this is if it goes into like a Barrel Eye Guido deck, then the Guido can't be broken, and the Barrel Eye, if you kill it, you're still losing something. Well, you're dull and freezing out of it.
Actually, oh yeah, that's fair.
So
The you don't ever want to break the Guido, I don't really think, because you kind of want your opponent to be on four backups. Unless, obviously, they can have reactivates and stuff, but if you can dull freeze the Guido somehow with, like, locks or whatever. But, yeah, so, like, the making it more expensive to deal with Barrel Eye, because sometimes, like, when you're against Barrel Eye Guido, sometimes you get that combo down when you're not ready for it, and then that Celestia can make that a lot more toxic, but I don't know if that makes it better, like supremely better. Probably is absolutely worth playing, but yeah.
And then I'm just gonna pull out the ones I think that are more interesting. So Doga, a lot of people said, well, not a lot of people, quite a few people have said, why is this, isn't this a legend? I don't personally quite see it. I don't quite personally see it that much. Can anyone say why they think it should be a legend or why they think it shouldn't?
I don't think it should be a legend. I think it's fine as a hero, but it's just any card that says draw is usually going to be better, like, as sets go on. Like two drops of Dan's a good example. No one really played it outside of, like, meme hasty decks, but everyone, I don't know, it's probably one of the most dominant water cards at the moment, just because it says draw two. So, obviously, like, Water Earth currently is not very powerful, but it does run lots of summons whenever it is being played, and lots of summons you don't mind discarding because of Creel. You kind of want summons in the break zone because you want to cast them off of Creel because it's going to be 2 CP less than if you cast them from your hand. So it combos well for that in an element that's quite summon heavy. So I don't know. If it gets more broken things, I can imagine Dogga being just like a generic card you put in a deck.
Do you think he could have been a summoner? Do you think he could have been job summoner?
Probably. He does have a rubbish job, yeah. He's searchable in Earth by a lot of things, but not really anything else, just because of his cost.
Yeah. I just don't like that it says 9 or more summons. Like, if you're running 9 or more summons, if you've gone through that much, like, how many summons do you have left in your deck?
Well, I think you don't read that bit of the text. Like, that's largely unimportant because you don't run, like, when you play like a 4-drop Minwu, you know, the forward Minwu, that doesn't see play. You're not playing it for that effect. That effect's not that great. It's just like a sort of icing on top kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. So I was trying the new Bahamut, and that needs 7 summons, I think, to get the 5k and when it attacks. And I even tried to do it, and I could never get the 7 in the break zone. I can't see how you're gonna have 9, and like Mitch said, have more to cast from your hand.
You're just playing it for the draw effect, because even if you've got, like, even if you only got 2 summons in hand, let's say, and you've got 2 backups out, you're still replacing your hand, you're replenishing your hand, you're playing a forward onto the field from your hand for free. You know, that's good enough. It's letting you sift through your deck.
Alex is quiet.
Can't afford to do that.
Alex is quiet. He's thinking, what are these mere mortals discussing these crap cards? Call me back when there's something worthwhile.
Yeah, no, 0 CP 7 to 9k or 7 to 10k, sorry, is always got to be at least decent, you know.
Well, like, first off, sometimes with some cards have it anyway, but sometimes you got to look at a card's line of text and think it's just extra. You know, think of Doga's last ability as like a damage 6 kind of effect. It's like a super late game thing that it will come up like 1 in what, like, maybe, I don't know, 50. Maybe 50 is a stretch, but like maybe 1 in 50 games. It'll come up and maybe it wins you the game. You know, it's not a big thing. It's like Aranea. How often? Aranea is a bit different. Like, you have to play around the 6 damage. You know, sometimes you'll leave them on 5 because then being on 6 is such a big deal. But Doga's sort of that thing that comes in right at the end of the game that you have to worry about. You don't normally ever worry about it before then. So you just got to look at the first 2 lines. And right now, the first 2 lines aren't relevant with, again, what's in the meta. Same as Celestia. You know, this is an underplayed combination. The only reason we play Water Earth right now is because of it's the best 2 colors for Neo Exter. So we also got to remember that Celestia is water and ice. Doga is earth and water. You know, it seems like, although there's a Lazwell that's like ice fire, for the most part, most of these dual colors are going to be like skipping one element between them, right? So, but more than likely, the legend, the other earth water legend, is going to be it's going to be earth water, right? Leo's the one up there that's just earth, and Doga is earth and water. We'll probably see another earth and water card. And what if it's like a really good summoner that we haven't seen before? You know, not card named.
It'll be
Garnet,
Iridia. It'll be Iridia.
Yeah, well, imagine if it was. Imagine if it's not that, right? And think of if they just decide, you know what, summoners is an archetype we want to push, like we wanted to push Tenzin with Samurai's last set. All they actually really need is one busted card, Tenzin level in the legend slot. And not only is Doga busted, but then like the whole archetype is busted. I know Doga's not a summoner himself, but I kind of feel like he just works in the archetype anyway, because summoners as a deck, as much as most people don't even know it really exists, is very specifically earth and water with Braska and Rydia, basically. So one more busted card, who knows? Right now, Doga's whatever. Looks cool, doesn't play too cool, but in, you know, 1 month's time, we might be eating those words kind of thing.
Yeah, but then likewise on the colour combinations, you're saying they're not really serving well. The Onion Knight, the Fire Wind, that does play well with the colours, and it looks quite pretty strong. Or do you think it's just a bit too meme-y for the Onion Knight? This is
well,
the...
no, Onion Knight's cool as well, but same thing. Like even when Marsh Ritz came out, Fire Wind was like the worst element to play, combination to play in because you couldn't guarantee Ritz off those three CP backups like Lilty. So this is also another underplayed element combination that, again, if this one is pushed in the legend slot, if it gets a Fire Wind legend, because I'm assuming Laswell is not a legend for what that's worth, but maybe it is. But if we get another Fire Wind legend, maybe Onion Knight deck. I mean, Onion Knight's weird because it's like Onion Knight deck. It's not Fire Wind. It's just they just gave it to Fire Wind and like, yeah, here's your big Onion Knight synergy. You know, now thou shut up, Onion Knight fans. You know, you've got that, and that's your one thing you're getting forever. But I mean, the effect is sick. It just requires you to run incredibly subpar cards for an incredibly, incredibly above average ability.
So, what's your take on Leo? So, this is one of the legends we've seen.
Good card. Yeah,
it's another one.
The artwork on these playing cards is so sick.
That and they're beautiful.
It's awesome. But the effect of Leo in general is just, yeah, I mean, I really like Lena from Opus 12. This is a Lena more specifically geared to like FFCC that doesn't, you know, more specifically geared to Earth Wind, basically, because Norse Talent is Wind and there's lots of good Earth FFCC backups. It just seems like on paper, one of the better cards I've like read in Final Fantasy in a long while. It just seems... honestly pretty, I mean, maybe it's super overpowered, maybe it's super weak, but on the like me just reading it, it looks pretty balanced. It looks like, you know, cards these days like stuff like Cyan and Yuna 3 that you have to kind of kill on the turn they come in or they get mad value. This is the same kind of card. It's a bit like Kryle, but Kryle is like Leo. You can always gauge how good Leo is because there's always going to be some busted 40 can bring back in the break zone. Sometimes Kryle comes in and the summons are kind of whatever, you can play around it, but Leo is like, you let Leo live a turn, you know, you're in some danger with that card.
Yeah, it's the fact you can give it haste off of Barts, which might lead to some degenerate.
I was about to say is this an Earth Wind card, but I didn't even think of the Barts.
I think it probably would definitely be an Earth Wind card because I think it's just an Earth you probably want to run this. It's got a great job being king because it's got Neox Searcher and it's got FFCC, which is an amazing, amazing category to have. And there's like in the Barts Boko-esque decks, which I know aren't as super broken as they were like about a month ago, they still run a lot of FFCC backups, you know, so like Nurstalan, Vice, Silke, the Lightning ones, and Althea. So you're getting value off these even if you're only maybe playing a Boko all of that still.
I mean, that's quite it brings it out, doesn't it, actually? Yeah, it's the Barts attacks.
Yes.
You bring out the Leo. If you've got the counters, you then tap. You can bring in like you can bring in that Ysdola, can you? Opus 12, and then on your attack during your attack. Can you do it during your attack phase? Yeah, only during your turn.
Yeah,
so there's no limitation on the tap. Yeah, that's pretty good.
You bring back a White Mage, bring back an Ysdola or a Yuna or something, just to, you know, draw to or protect your board kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's got a great job and a great category as well. Not just FFCC, like Job King, because Claris is a good card. Like the next Leo can go in, you know, playing it with because I've started trying out Claris in Earthwind Lock right now because he can search like King of Bermesia, not King of Bermesia. Okay, we can search that, but he can search
King of Tycoon.
King of Tycoon and there's some other one I play that outrageous, right? As the backups, but it doesn't. The Leo forward is kind of a bit meh right now, but this is a lovely card to kind of slot in there to make Claris even better in Earthwind. And just, you know, any deck that plays Claris could probably fit this in, maybe somewhat, if it's got some FFCC in there too.
I'm not going to mention Sid Randall because we've already had too many long conversations in our team chats about trying to work out what he does. It hurts my head. So we'll leave him. Let's have a look lastly at Golbez. We've just seen him. People are very happy with this. I think, again, Michael, because it says search for a card when it comes into the field. This looks very good just because you can search for any type of card that costs two. and it's EX Burst. Mitchell, Alex, do you see this being an Archfiend card, or is this going to be a play? Again, is it the right colour combinations? Lightning, Wind is another one that's not played very much. But the fact you can search anything, is this going to be like your... I think someone compared it to like the Dark Camelonaut. It's like your consistency fixer. Is that what you see for Golbez? Yeah. Or?
I think it's just a strong card. I think it's very flexible as well, with its like cost being 5 CP, being Wind and Lightning. It can even just go in like a Earth deck. Like, I'm pretty sure Alex could even run it in his Earth Wind lock and just sibble it in. And you can search for like... What I haven't seen a lot of is the idea of it to go with Shikari's. And while... And that, again, could just easily slot in an Earthwind Shikari deck and just search for the missing Shikari, and on six damage you search all three if need be. I don't know. It's a very strong card, and it's the box topper, and it looks really good.
Someone just mentioned it's the box topper.
It looks really nice.
It's probably going to end up seeing play like Gabbrandt does, you know, the 4-drop EX Gabbrandt. Like, it's just a consistency card. Like, I think you're just going to pretend like the damage 6 isn't there, because damage 6 is really hard for you to get to and maintain, because often your opponent will just get you to damage 7 if they get you to damage 6. Or there's a risk of that anyway. But yeah, I'll just see play like Gabbrandt does, you know, if you're in one Lightning or a deck that can tech one or the other, you just run it. Like, if you're in an Earth deck that runs heavy cost of forward, you just run Gabbrandt. It's quite just genetically powerful and good. There's so many 2-drops, especially right now, that are amazing, like Creel, Mione. Because it's actually backups, it's actually a card source, it's actually summons as well. So even like in, say, your opponent goes turn 1 to Dan, but they don't quite haste it, or if they haste it and you have nothing to deal with it, you can just throw down your Golbez and search it like a Sylph or something that kills it, you know?
I saw someone it is
like Mac was saying, like Gabbrandt. It's like Gabbrandt in reverse. You know, Gabbrandt is search is big but is small. You know, Golbez is big but search is small. And it's one of those things, like, I keep thinking if they made Setzer from Ripper's 4 nowadays, you know, you couldn't get away with making that a 5 CV 7K. Whereas if Setzer was something like a 5 CV 8K or 5 CV 9K, like it's Golbez, it would be a super popular card in the kind of FF6 deck now. Same with this Golbez. Like, I don't exactly know where it's going to fit yet. If it's going to be like Locke and you just play it in decks that play Tyro and Wind or Lightning. But yeah, you can't really underestimate the how big a deal a 3-mana 9K is in the early game. You know, you do it, you know, even off one backup, you just play it, you get whatever 2-drop backup you want, or, you know, forward if you really want to, you know, be aggressive. And you can just start punching them in the face. Well, what do you do with about a 3 CP 9K effectively right now? There's not really anything that does 9K 2 or 3 drop that feels really good for you to do at most points in the game. And yeah, the damage 6 is like a bit of kind of flavor addition with the Archfiends. But again, this one is more like Aranea, because you put your opponent damage 6 without killing them, and they play Golbez. You know, whether they're playing a Storm deck or whatever, getting 3 extra cards to your hand on that turn can completely change the tide of any game, you know, whether or not the 2 CPs themselves are relevant, or it's just the 6 CP you get of him. So it's a really, it's just a really nice card, cool addition to the game.
And that's not forgetting the actual elements that they are, because it's Wind Lightning deck. A common one that they, cards that you used to run were Cactar. And if they, like, your opponent puts you to 5 damage, there's nothing stopping you Cactar in taking another point of damage. And then you've set yourself up for the 6 damage.
Yep, very true.
So, as I said, I'm very excited for the card and seeing what it can open up in my deck making and stuff like that.
I saw someone said you can finally search Cosmos. I don't know if that's a thing, but if you're a light fan, that's quite good.
That is actually quite big, yeah.
Cool. All right. I think we've seen Ruby Canary. I don't think the Archfiends will be a thing unless they're completely crazy. But like I said, I think it's going to be, that card's going to see probably a lot of play just for its other effects. But I'm sure there might be a fun Archfiend deck. But
all it takes is like a busted 2 CP Barbarossa or something like that. That's just breaks these, like I said, like your Arch Fiends can't be broken while Golbez is on the field or something silly like that, then there'll be some, like, we'll start seeing them if there's a strong card.
All right. Okay, so we're a little bit over the time you said we do, but Alex, we did promise people to answer your Q&A. So what we'll do, we've been a bit serious as well today. We're normally a bit more lighthearted, but talking proper plays today. So we'll finish off with, so what we do, Alex, I'm going to take a wild punt that you've never listened to us before. We do a section called Haste Take, and what happens is you get a question from me and you have 30 seconds to answer the question and then you get cut off. People have submitted questions to you already, so we're going to do it in the style of Haste Take. So I'll ping all the questions to Alex. You've got a maximum of 30 seconds to answer them, and then I'll cut you off. If you're in the chat, we are on a delay, so if you haven't submitted your question yet, do it quickly now, so I might see it. And then Mitch and Michael, you can chip in at the end if you think Alex has not answered it very well, I think. That sound good?
Yep.
Michael, you have to put a Q in front of your question if you want it in the chat. Otherwise, it doesn't get asked. Right, okay. Question number one. I think some of these have been answered. I'm going to do things. So, without knowing your opponent and what they're playing, if you had all three Shikaris, would you play them down turn one?
If I'm playing, yeah, Mono Wind, have all the CP. Yeah, I think that's a good play. A lot of pressure early. Yeah, you can get a card back really quick, and you're just threatening to kill them on, yeah, turn three at the latest, and effectively they're dead on turn two if they don't have an answer. It's a good play.
I think this is the same person as asked the next one. If you had Neo Xdef turn one, this is a turn one player, just know what he's doing. If you had Neo Xdef turn one, would you play it?
No, I'd put my hand back on top of the deck, pick it up, and go home.
Good answer.
A man of honour, I like that.
A true samurai. Is Dadaluma ready to unban?
Nah, the synergies it has these days, that whether or not it would be super competitive, you just don't want it to devolve to a point like Neo Xdef where it's just some degenerate Dadaluma deck where you with Kryl and Q-Sith and Cactuar and, like, I don't know, Larcias, you just have infinite amount of this, and yeah, you can either just win by, like, deck out and just killing your opponents forwards, or just, you know, doing what you used to do and ping Dadaluma a bunch of times and chip away at them over a few turns.
Just out of curiosity, is there any card that you think could be unbanned?
Well, I've got more questions here, but that's not one of them. So fire away, Kavari, fire away.
You can take longer than 30 seconds for
this. Thaumaturge is the only one I think could come back. But even then, I'm quite happy for all the banned cards to stay where they are.
Yes, but there's been a lot called for Thaumaturge, actually. I think it's mostly just Peter. But right, okay. Do you think we will have more Storm cards, or will this be a standalone tech for Opus 12?
I think it's going to be standalone. I mean, we haven't seen the Wind Legend yet. That's probably the closest thing we can get, but it seemed to be a deliberate kind of... Wind Ice with Locke and with, like, the Riku and stuff. Ended up being Earth Wind, but yeah, I think it's just got enough as it is. I think anything else, honestly, maybe it puts this into a place where it doesn't need to be. I actually think the deck is just quite fair and balanced right now for the stage we're at in the game. And it's fine as it is.
He's very good at this, isn't he, Mitch? No one's ever this good. Yeah. Nearly Omana for 10 seconds and waste it. Okay, what has been your favourite card so far? Very broad.
Very broad. I mean, in the game?
I guess so.
Technically, my favourite card is Bartz, and so I don't know. I just always liked that Bartz card that I made the promo, but
Flex.
I think so far, yeah, Locke's been my favourite. I mean, it probably changes every set as a new busted card comes out, but yeah, Locke is like, if I read that card, I was like, man, this is so sick. I'm gonna have so much fun with this card, and I did. So yeah.
We've got like a Ron Burgundy style one here. Sky Pirates? Question mark.
They have a great leading man. But the rest of it just kind of flat. So no.
Actually, I saw you streaming FF12 for like two streams, and then it never came back. Does that say anything about Sky Pirates? Probably. Should I play Cecil? I don't know if this was just from the chat from when we're talking about something else.
No. This is aimed at me.
Yeah, that's
really. The answer is Can you beat me at draft yet?
Hey, things are getting personal. Swiftly on. Do you think multi-element cards were a good mechanic or just a way to disguise power creep?
It's one of the best things they did for the game. I mean, they need to keep introducing new mechanics and ideas, and they don't have to be super broken. Maybe lock is a bit, you know, I mean, lock's not super broken. It's managed to keep up with the. It's kind of been the center of the power creep, along with like Regis, even though we don't see much Regis. But yeah, stuff like damage mechanic, dual element, just more stuff like that to keep the game fresh and interesting every 2 to 3 sets is great.
Actually, that's a good next one into next question. Kefka Regis. Is it god tier or just meme-y?
Oh, it's god tier when it goes off, and it's a viable win condition. It's just risky with all the amateurizes at the moment. You know, at any point your combo kind of gets disrupted. It can lead to trouble, and for some reason the deck just doesn't quite have. It's sort of right around now missing kind of one card just to push over the edge. It needs a kind of Layla Viking kind of thing within element, where it has mid and Sid Previa, but it needs something else that kind of just spurts 2/4s on the board, doesn't really cost you anything, just so you can get Kefka off more reliably within Earth and Lightning.
Who is your favourite person in YYT?
It's my favourite person in YYT. I mean, Steve Dolman's always very nice to me.
Sorry, Mike.
Okay, I understand.
Peter Sherritt has just joined. Can we unban Thaumaturge? I think you said you could, but you shouldn't.
I think that's the only one I'd even bother trialing right now.
What do you think of bounce effects?
I think bounce effects, they need help. They need like some kind of rewards. Like the Anu Leviathan needs to say, like, maybe the bigger the forward, you know, for every, I don't know, 3 CP the card costs, you know, draw one card or something like that. They just need something that makes up for the fact that still, even with Amaterasu, most of the busted cards have entry ability. And I'm never going to Leviathan a lock. If I can Leviathan a lock and then draw 3 cards or something like that, maybe I'm a bit more inclined to give it a spin.
Opus 12 Yshtola, how would you best utilize it?
You play it, you attack face, you avoid damage.
So I think, okay, we'll re-ask it. I think he's thinking in more broader terms of make an interactive deck with it other than just play it down and slap.
You kind of can't. The card is just doesn't have an entry ability, doesn't have an ongoing ability. It's just an oversized haste with inbuilt protection. Great standalone card. You can't build a deck around it, but it will fit into any of your pre-existing decks just fine.
You run it as a one-off, don't you, in Storm?
One or two, yeah. One depending on how you're feeling at the time.
Last question. I think this is you, Mitch. Chris Matiski thinks Baron Guido is degenerate and should be banned. Is this a sentiment you share? Very eloquent question.
I mean, I've seen a variation of the deck. I played against it once this set, and it was quite interesting to play against. It was like I was playing Earthwind, and it was mainly not a case of playing my normal game. It was like play Zidane as many times as possible and disrupt all their combo. If the deck became that popular, there are answers that exist. It's whatever. I really couldn't care less. You need to see 20 a tournament. You play it 3 rounds at your 6 or 7 to actually care about that deck right now or that combo.
Well done. You survived the ultimate haste take. Well played. That was good. Yeah, very impressive.
I don't think I heard a single
yeah. No. Well played. Right, that's all the questions, Alex. You can have a breather now. So yeah, we've probably hit time. I said we'd go for about an hour, and we've eked out an extra 15 minutes from you. So yeah, thanks for joining. It's been interesting. It's been nice for me to have someone on my level to talk to.
Yep.
The usual panel. But no, I know people always interested to hear what you have to say, and I think we've seen that. You know, you've been doing a lot more stream and stuff. I think people enjoying it, able to get like a direct link into you, and it's good to see. So yeah, hopefully you keep your sort of high profile in the game with all your activity. So yeah, and Mitch and Michael, thanks for joining as well. Ever reliable.
Oh well, yeah, thanks. Afterthoughts,
yeah. So I guess we'll say, what's your Twitch link, Alex, if people aren't aware that you're already streaming? Is it Twitch TV Mr. Cool?
It's twitch.tv/MrCool's Twitch.
MrCool's Twitch. I'll put it in the video description for you. So yeah, go check that out. As we said, he does gameplay, and you do like Community Sunday, right, where we can submit a deck and you'll try and make it better and have a go of it.
Sunday people get to tell me what to do. Maybe sometimes it doesn't work out, but I try my best.
So. I might come on one of the Sundays and ruin it for you. I'll sick of you one of my decks.
He's really mean. You don't want to. I'm not mean. He's mean in a nice way.
My decks aren't very good. It's more the problem. But yeah.
He's mean in a nice way. Go subscribe to his Twitch.
Tough love you get from me.
Yeah. Last question, actually, Alex. It's Team Calamity Locals tomorrow. I haven't built a deck yet. What shall I run?
You play a new variant of Mono Water with 3 copies of Opus 2 Cecil, 3 copies of Opus 1 Minmu, and 3 copies of Neo X Death.
Funny. All right.
That person's not winning a game.
It's coming. All right. I can see it. Cool. Right. That's the end of the stream. Thank you very much. Thank you for people who have watched live. If you're not watching live, thanks for listening. And we'll see. If you enjoyed having guests on, Alex, you're obviously welcome to come any other time. If you want us to see more guests, drop a comment who you want to see and we'll try and convince them to come in. But other than that, thanks very much. See you next time.
See you later.